And every knee is going to do it. Woe to the knee that does not bow while they have the choice. And I trust that everyone here tonight willingly bows the knee and claims Jesus as Lord. It is good to be here tonight. And just real quickly, as Brother Bobby shared, I do come from Thailand. Our family has been over there since 2006, and so we are on a one-year furlough or sabbatical, and so we are be here in the States until next July, which time we will head back and continue to serve there with the Institute for Global Opportunities. I'm not here on a PR trip, so I'm not going to talk about my work, okay? There is a table over there with some information. If you would like any of that, help yourself, okay? And if you want to know any more about it, you can ask me later, but that's not why we're here. So I'm not going to do PR work. I live there with my wife and 8 children. As of Sunday, it'll be 3 weeks ago, our 7th son was born. So we praise God for another healthy child. And tomorrow evening, Lord willing, my wife and all of our children will be here. And we are grieved that they couldn't all be here. Traveling today from Pennsylvania, missing nap times and being cooped in a van led to best for them and you and I for some to stay home tonight. So that's where the rest of them are. As Brother Bobby also shared, I do have my book and 3 different CD series. I'm burdened today by how many of our Anabaptist people are going to the Protestants and to the evangelicals to get their feeding, both through the preaching, through audio, through video, through reading, and so on. And it is my burden that we as Anabaptist people would feed our people, and not just in the church, but throughout the week. And so that's part of what has led me to produce 3 different message series. There's 8 CDs in each message. They're over there. And also my book, Help Yourself to That. That is on a donation basis. So over there on the table, none of those are the same. So if each set has 8 messages, so there's 24 different ones. Some I'm going to preach here, maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure what all God wants to say, but my desire tonight and these next 10 nights is that God would be lifted up, that we would be humbled, and that we would acknowledge, that we'd realize that our time here on earth is short. And that as we are confronted with truth, we would receive it. I still remember very well when I was in 5th grade, principal came to my desk, Mr. Miller, and he came to my desk and he just called me, said he wanted me to come into his principal's office, wanted to talk to me a little bit. I thought, now why does the principal want to talk to me? You know, I didn't do anything bad. And so I went in the little office then. We were a small Christian school, and stood there, and he sat down in his chair and he wanted to talk to me. And he began to tell me a little bit about when he was young, growing up and going to school. And he said they would get on the school bus, and they would go to his school, but also along the way, they'd pick up special ed children. And then before they would get to his school, they'd drop all the special ed, the special needs children off at theirs. And he said, I used to kind of look at those students, those children, and kind of look at I was better than them. And he went on to say how of his struggle with pride in his life when he was a young man. And then he just very gently turned it to me. And he said, do you see yourself in any of this? And I knew what he was getting at. And tears just started to run down my eyes, and I just shook my head. And he just pointed out to me very lovingly, very gently. He truly spoke the truth in love, as we're to do. That as a 5th grade boy, he saw pride in my life, and he pointed it out. Well, when he was done, I don't know how he finished or whatever, but, you know, I was dismissed. And I made a sharp right turn out of his office, went directly into the men's restroom, went back in the stall, shut the door, and bawled my eyes out. And then I went to the sink and tried to make it look like I didn't cry. And then I went back to my desk. And I had a big problem on my hands. I was confronted with truth, and I did not like it. And I took it a step further. Not only did I not like truth that day, I also did not like the bearer of truth. And I still remember talking to my mom. Now, I didn't go home and tell my mom and dad, you know, Mr. Miller told me today? I didn't tell that. But I waited till he did something that I didn't think was right, and then I told my mom about it. And I just said, you know, I don't think he likes me. And I had a problem with him. And my mom very wisely said, pray for him. That wasn't what I wanted to hear. I had a problem with truth. And often when we have a problem with truth, we have a problem with the truth bearer. Open your Bibles tonight to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. This is where we're going to begin this evening. We're going to look at a man who, like me in fifth grade, and I hope I've grown up a little bit since then, although there are times when I still don't like truth. But we're going to look at a man here in 2 Chronicles 18 who did not like the truth. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, I'm going to look at the whole chapter. We'll read a little bit and we'll tell some of it just to give a little bit of background. This is about two different kings, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, who is a righteous king. So he's come into reigning here in Judah as a righteous king. He has just succeeded Asa, who started well and finished not well. And we also have the other king here is King Ahab. He is the king of Israel and a very wicked king. In fact, I'm sure you're familiar with King Ahab. These two kings, and for some reason here, these guys are together here as friends. So let's just come into this chapter here, 2 Kings chapter 18. Now Jehoshaphat, verse 1, had riches and honor and abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. So here's the picture. They're together, and Ahab treats King Jehoshaphat royally, and it seems like they're in good relationships. And then Ahab says, King Jehoshaphat, would you go with me to Ramoth-Gilead, and we're going to fight the Syrians. See, the Syrians were continually the enemies of Israel. We're going to go fight them. Would you help me in this? And this seems good for King Ahab, because if he gets Jehoshaphat to join him, then he, you know, doubles his forces, and his chances of victory are much greater. King Jehoshaphat says, hey, we're as you. My men as your men. We'll go with you. And then I wonder if there was a check in his spirit about this commitment, because you notice what he says then. He says, you know what? Could we inquire of the Lord of this? That's always a good question to say before you go to battle. Could we inquire of the Lord? And the king of Israel gathered together of the prophets 400 men. And he asked him this question. This is in verse 5. Shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it unto the king's hand. Now, I don't understand the whole picture here. I don't know how these prophets dressed, how they act, or what was it. But something about them caused King Jehoshaphat to say, is there anyone else that we can inquire of the Lord? He looked at these 400 men who said, go, God's going to deliver them in their hands. They proclaim they've got truth. And he says, I just don't trust them. Get me somebody else. Is there anyone else? That also was wise counsel. Shows us Jehoshaphat's a godly man. He's not going to trust 400 false prophets here. Notice King Ahab's response. He says, there is. There's one guy that we could ask. But I hate him, because he has nothing good to say about me. Jehoshaphat says, bring him. So they send for him. Now, brothers and sisters, I hope you've come here tonight And I hope to see you back here again tomorrow night and the following nights. And I trust you have come to hear truth. I trust you're coming to hear truth. And my question for you tonight is, what is your relationship with truth? What's your relationship tonight with the truth? Is it your friend or your foe? Is truth your friend or is it your foe? And as we're going to continue in this story here, we see King Ahab, he does not like the truth. It's his foe. He hates truth. And it is very possible that some of you here tonight are here and you're coming, you want to hear truth, but the bottom line is you don't like truth. And if you don't like the truth that's presented, you're going to walk away and say no. Some of you may go as far, and I hope nobody here is like Ahab and will do to me as they did to that prophet. I'm not worried about that. But some of you will go as far as to hate the bearer of truth and say, Rick just said that. You know what? Never mind me, okay? Because the spirit of truth, God's spirit, is going to bear witness when I'm speaking truth. And what you're going to need to give an account to is God. But as you come and as you sit under the preaching of the word, as you sit under, what will be your response to truth? Is truth your friend or your foe? Let's just keep going in this story here. Jehoshaphat says, isn't there a man of the Lord besides we inquire? King of Israel says, there's yet one man that we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same as Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat down, either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes. And they sat in a void place at the entry of the gates of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now I wonder what's going through their mind. Let's just pause the story here. So they sit down to wait. And here's these 400 false prophets. They have not heard from God. They have said what the king wants to hear. And woe is me if I preach what you want to hear. They have said what the king wants to hear, and what they do while they're waiting for this man of God, truly a man of God, to come, is they just begin to go on and just to beef up their story. And they, let's look at what they say here. Zedekiah says this, he made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. Notice something here. They're not saying, thus saith Baal. They're not proclaiming to be false prophets. They're proclaiming to be of God. And saying, you know what? God said, he's going to take these horns and you're going to push back Syria. Oh, they like to hear that. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver into the hand of the king. I'm not sure if they thought by speaking further it would be more convincing if they were worried about this man of God coming. The messenger that goes to Micaiah, this is what he does. Let me just tell you from here, okay? He says this. He says, you're to come and you're to give a word of God to King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat. They're wondering if they should go to Ramoth-Gilead and fight against the Syrians. And just so that you know, there's already been 400 prophets there and they've said to go. So go ahead and say that, make agreement, okay? Just agree. Micaiah says, I'll only say what the Lord tells me to say. He comes to them. And the king says, shall we go up or shall we stay home? And Micaiah says this. He says, go up. Now, I'm not sure why he did that. Because even King Ahab, wicked King Ahab, says, how long do I have to persuade you to speak truth? Did you get that? Even this man, this hater of truth, says, how long am I going to have to convince you to speak truth to me? Say truth to me. Oh, that sounds really good. This guy is having a change of heart, huh? And it sounds like it. And then all Micaiah says is this. Then said I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. Now, I want you to stop and listen. This is what King Ahab wanted. He wanted him to say, what did God tell you? How long do I have to persuade you to bring truth? King Ahab said. And so the prophet Micaiah just gives truth. And the word from God is, you're not to go to Ramoth-Gilead. You're not to fight the Syrians. Everybody's to go on home. And King Ahab turns to King Jehoshaphat and said, see, I told you! He's got nothing good to say about me. And he's angry. He's angry with the truth. And Micaiah speaks on. Verse 18, he says, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And you know, I believe that the reason Micaiah gives the rest of this is to explain what was going on ahead of time. Because it was like this. He said, and the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, verse 19, that he may go up and fall Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit, stood before the Lord, and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil things against thee. Now if Ahab's paying attention, his death sentence has been stated here. And if somebody's speaking truth, and they're warning that if you go against this, you're going to die, I think you'll want to listen. And brothers and sisters, when God's Spirit speaks to your heart, you want to pay attention and you want to go with it, because to go against it brings death. Maybe not physical death, but spiritual death. You will not prosper when you say no to truth. Because truth is reality. Truth is what really is. So when God speaks to your heart, don't argue. Because God speaks truth. And no matter how many people you get to agree with you, no matter how many people you get on your side, if you're not on the side of truth, you're on the losing side, as King Ahab is in this story. Let's go back to the text. These 400 prophets, they're so full of themselves, they can't sit idly by and do this. Zedekiah, the one who made the horns and said, you know, you're going to push Syria back with this. He comes and he slaps Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of God from me to talk to you, huh? And make fun of him. Verse 25, the king of Israel, Ahab, said, take Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's sons, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison, feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. I'm not afraid of the truth. I'm not afraid of the truth. We're going to lock you up, Micaiah, until I come back in peace. Now, I don't know what coming back in peace means. Does that mean he comes back with the head of the king of Syria? Or what does that mean? But when he comes back in peace, then I'm going to deal with you, Micaiah. Don't you dare lift your heart up against the truth tonight. You will never prevail against truth. Micaiah says, if you come back in peace, then the Lord has not spoken by me. Micaiah is sent. He's locked up in prison, fed with bread and water of affliction. King Ahab is going to war like he wants to do. You've been there. You've wrestled with truth before. And you've been confronted with it. And you knew what it was, and you dismissed the bearer of truth Sometimes it was simply God's spirit. You said no to the spirit of God, or you said no to the authority, or you said no to the person of counsel, or you said no to a friend who cared about you enough to speak truth, and you said, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what King Ahab does. But I think he's a little bothered by this, because he says, here's what we're going to do. I'm dressing up like one of the boys. So if they're out to get me and I'm going to die in this battle, like Micaiah says, I ain't going to find me. Jehoshaphat, he goes like a king. Well, that's really a nice friend. You dress up like the king, okay? So if they want to get a king, they'll get you. I'm going to ride. I'm going to do well, okay? Exactly what happened. Read it if you don't trust me. They go to battle. And it's interesting the message the Syrians had. Don't worry about any. We're going for the king. And so they go after the king, and all of a sudden they realize, oh, no, this is King Jehoshaphat. It's not King Ahab. So they turn back, and then this is how the story goes. A man, it says, at venture, which I think you could say at chance, but none of us believe in chance. It wasn't chance. It was the hand of God upon this man. But it says, at a venture, as they turn back from chasing King Jehoshaphat, they see some other just men of battle fleeing, and he pulls back his bow and just lets it fly. Kind of what I used to do at the end of muzzleloader season, the end of the day, and you don't want to put your gun in the truck loaded, right? And you have the powder in there, and you have the bullet in, and you can't, like your shotgun, just pop it out, right? So you got to shoot it. And I still remember one time as I'm standing there on the hillside by the road with my dad ready to get in the truck. We got to unload our guns, and it's dusk, right? And there's like five deer feeding way out there. And why would I just shoot into the ground when I could shoot at a deer? So kind of at a venture, I just kind of pointed this thing up there and bang, shoot it. You know, when the smoke cleared, I could see the last one going around the hill. And I got rid of it. I just emptied it out. That's what this guy's doing. Although I don't think they need to empty their quivers at the end of the day. But he just pulls back and just lets her fly. And it hits King Ahab right in the back. And King Ahab that night dies. No surprise to you and I. We know the good guys and the bad guys in this story. We know Micaiah spoke truth. And we know that when you say no to truth, you will not prevail. What is your relationship with the truth tonight? Brothers and sisters, the truth does three things. I'm going to give you three words to remember tonight that the truth does, and it does them in these order. Now, as I was introducing my family to Brother Bobby this afternoon, I started giving names, and when you got 10 people in your family, he's not going to remember them as good as a memory as he has, but I clued him in. I said, we all start with R's, and so that helped him a little bit. Don't quiz him yet tonight. Give him a few nights till you do that to him. I'm actually going to continue this R thing tonight. I'm going to give you three R words, okay, that truth does. And I hope this helps you remember this. And these things that truth does these in this order. Number one, the truth rebukes. Truth rebukes. And all of us have been there. We've been rebuked by the truth. Another word you could say would be it convicts. It rebukes. Truth rebukes. And if you're saved here tonight, you're saved because one time truth rebuked and convicted on your heart so strong, and finally you said yes to God. You accepted the rebuke. But since then, there have still been times when the truth needed to rebuke you because of what you were doing, because of an attitude, or because of whatever, for whatever reason. Truth rebukes. See, truth never apologizes. Truth is truth. It's reality. It's how things is. Let me tell you something else about truth. The truth by nature, get this, by nature, the truth is very narrow. 2 + 2 = 4. It's not 3, it's not 5, it's not 7, and there's every other number but 4. It's not what 2 + 2 is. Truth, by nature, is very narrow. The truth rebukes. And if we are not living in line with truth, when we listen to God speaking to us, there will be a rebuke. I thank God that it's a rebuke of love. It's done in mercy. I think of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and a wicked, wicked city. And I think of Lot. Now, Lot was in the city, and Abraham had pleaded with God that he would save the city all the way down to 10 righteous. God doesn't even find 10 righteous in the city. The city is so bad, so God sends two angels going to destroy it, and they go into Lot, and the state of Lot is so bad that he doesn't even want to leave. And then there's a little part in this story that I love. These two angels, these two men of God, did this. It says, they took Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. So there's two men. They each grabbed one in each hand and led them out. And then there's this phrase, the Lord being merciful unto him. Brothers and sisters, when the Lord convicts, when the Lord rebukes you, it's because of his mercy. It's of the mercy of God when truth confronts us. Don't say no. If Ahab could have done that day over as he's going down in his chariot, I'm convinced he would have stayed home. The truth rebukes. An example of this is in Mark chapter 10. I'm not going to turn there. The rich young ruler comes running to Jesus, falls down, says, Master, what do I need to do to be saved? He wants to be saved. He wants salvation. Now Jesus just checks him out a little bit here. Well, you know the commandments. He lists them, says, I've kept these from my youth up. I think he's a fairly self-righteous man. He feels good about himself. But inside, he knew something's missing. And then Jesus said, one thing you lack. And Jesus, as he always does, spoke truth. This rich young ruler got his answer. He was confronted with truth. He heard what he came to hear. And the Bible says he turns and he left sad. If you say no to God speaking to your heart tonight or any other night, you're not going to leave with the joy of the Lord in your heart. And if we say no when truth rebukes, that's where it stops. The truth doesn't go on and do the next two R's that you want to happen in your life. Your next encounter with truth, brothers and sisters, is going to be a rebuke. If you say no to truth, to the rebuke, it's going to come back. If God speaks your heart tonight and you say no, when you come back tomorrow night, don't expect for truth to pat you on the back. It's going to rebuke you again until we respond. And when we respond to the rebuke of truth, then the second thing that truth does is it redeems. The truth redeems. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth redeems, or it saves us. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. David said in Psalm 119, he said, I have chosen the way of truth. You see, when we've been rebuked, when we accept truth, and we make an agreement with truth, we receive the rebuke. That's when the redemption comes. And I'm talking about more than just the redemption of salvation. Probably most of you here tonight are saved. You've been rebuked by truth. You've accepted that rebuke. You've agreed with it. You've acknowledged, I am guilty. I am a sinner. I need the grace of God. You've been redeemed. But just like myself, there have been times when truth has had to rebuke you over something else in your life. And when you have received the rebuke, again, there's that redeeming or that freedom in your life. And you're tonight, you're walking in freedom if you're walking in agreement with truth. If you're saying no to truth, you're in bondage tonight. Second thing that truth does is redeems. An example of this is King David. And King David, man after God's own heart, but whoa, what awful sins he committed. And we know his sin with Bathsheba. He looks with lust. And then he commits adultery. And then he's living dishonestly. And then he commits murder. And he's trying to cover things up. And finally, God, in mercy, sends Nathan the prophet to confront David with truth. I'm convinced Nathan wasn't volunteering for that job. And by the way, brothers and sisters, I'm not the only one here in this audience that speaks truth. If God speaks to you about someone here, a brother or a sister in the Lord, or maybe someone else, and gives you a word of truth that you need to speak to them as he did to Nathan, you speak that word of truth. God works through his children. God worked through my fifth grade principal to speak truth into my life. It took me a while to receive it. In fact, I'm not sure how long afterwards where I accepted it, but I still remember as a junior in high school going back to my principal. Now, he no longer was my principal, but went and found him and talked to him. I said, I want to thank you for what you did that day. You spoke truth into my life, and I needed it. And it was a lesson that needed to be spoken to my life. Brothers and sisters, maybe God's going to call on you to be like Nathan or like my fifth grade principal to speak truth into somebody's life. When Nathan goes to David and he confronts David with truth, you all know the story. We don't need to turn to it. We don't need to talk about it long. Tells the story. Rich man has a guest coming, and instead of taking of his multitude of his flocks, he goes to a poor neighbor and he steals his one sheep and he offers it for this guest. And David gets angry and he says, "That man should die." And Nathan said, "You are the man." And there's where truth pointed, right at King David. And David's in the same position of authority as King Ahab. He could have said, "Nathan, I don't like you. Feed him with bread of affliction. And after my 50th wedding anniversary with Bathsheba, I'll come check on you." But he didn't. He said, "I have sinned." The truth rebuked David. The truth redeemed David. And there was redemption in David's life because truth was his friend. He embraced the truth. And instead of rejecting it, instead of resisting the rebuke, he received it. And there was redemption in his life. The truth rebukes. And if you receive it, it's going to redeem. One more. The third thing. And this is where I hope we are tonight. But I know we wrestled this from time to time. The truth, after the truth has first rebuked, then redeemed, the truth also rules. The truth rules. And I'm speaking to you individually tonight. The truth is to rule in your life. As a child of God, we are no longer our own. Truth rules in God's children. What God says goes. God's people obey truth. The truth rules. The truth leads. John 16:13 says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." The Spirit of truth. That's what the Spirit of God is called, the Spirit of truth. And he leads us into truth. And brothers and sisters, you're a child of God tonight. You follow the Spirit of truth. And yet some of us, we've been rebuked. We've been redeemed. But the truth, as it speaks to our life, we want to say no. And we resist truth. God, I really don't want to do what you're calling me to do. I'm already saved. I'm being faithful right where I'm at, God. Don't tell me to go somewhere else. And we want to take over lordship in our life. God, I don't really want to go to this person and confess my wrong. I don't want to do that. I told you I'm sorry. That's enough, God. We don't want truth to rule. We're ruling. It's not enough, brothers and sisters, to accept the rebuke of truth. It's not enough to be redeemed by truth. The truth must rule. Is that your position tonight? Does the truth rule in your life? It will if truth is your friend. Or are you like King Ahab, where truth is a foe? I don't want to hear truth. The truth rules after it redeems, after it rebukes. Peter was a man who walked with Jesus, needed many rebukes, like all of us. And in Acts chapter 10 and 11, we find an interesting story where, to me, Peter's a tremendous challenge of a godly man and his response to truth. In Acts 10 is where Peter has the vision, the sheet with these unclean animals come down, and he's told to eat. And he says, "No, not so, Lord. I don't do this." And it happened again. And we go from there to about the same time, someone comes to, "Hey, there's a messenger here for you," and he's called to go to Cornelius' house. Now, Cornelius is a Gentile, and he's bid to go with them, and he's going to go in and fellowship with them, and the Jews don't do that. But in this story, Peter went against what his Jewish culture told him to do. He went against what had been happening in the past. It was a new work that God was doing. God used Peter at the start of these big things happening in the new church. And we're not going to go into that tonight. But he had Peter there each three monumental times. And this is one of them, of the work happening, of the gospel coming to the Gentiles here, of them, Jews and Gentiles, being made into one body here as far as the church. The truth ruled in Peter's life because he said, "Yes, Lord." And he went. You know what? I wonder if on the way to Cornelius' house, he's saying to himself and to the witnesses that went with him, "I'm going to pay for this. I will be in trouble. They're going to feed me pork. And back in Jerusalem, my bishop is going to get after me. He'll find out. I know he will." And he did. Because we come to chapter 11. Now you read chapter 10. Oh, it's a great story. Cornelius and his house get saved. The faith of Cornelius, he had called all his family there, and they're waiting. The faith of a Gentile here, they're waiting for Peter to show up to preach truth, and they all get saved. Great story. And then you turn the page, you go to chapter 11, and this is what it says. In Jerusalem, they're not happy with Peter. Oh, you got to hate that. When you allow the truth to rule, and then somebody says, "We're not happy with that." But Peter comes back to give report. And as he gives his report throughout Acts chapter 11, he carefully details it. And God very wisely had sent men with him. They're witnesses of what happened. And then in the end of chapter 11, Peter says this. You know, the Spirit of God came upon these. The Holy Ghost came upon them. He said, "What could I do to withstand God?" In all of what had happened in that scenario, the truth ruled. When the truth spoke to Peter, he followed. The truth convicted. He said, "You go do this." He followed. He followed. And even in their assembly, truth ruled. And when he rehearsed the matter, they said, "Okay." And there was peace there. Truth ruled. Brothers and sisters, does truth rule in your life tonight? When God tells you to do something, or when God convicts you, do you listen? Or do you rule? I give this message tonight because I want you to look at your heart tonight before we go further in the Word tomorrow evening and the following evenings. I want you to look at your heart and just check, what is my relationship with the truth? Do I receive truth? Is truth my friend or is it my foe? I can't look at you and say that. There may be a few other people that look at you can say that. Maybe they can. But I know who can say that tonight. It's you. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're unsure of your relationship with truth, I know where you can find an answer, and you can find it real quickly. God's a great communicator. He speaks clearly. He speaks in clarity. And he wants you to know truth. And if you say, well, I think so, but I'm not sure. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to talk to God about that, because he will tell you. Before we do that, there's a few verses that burden me, greatly burden me. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in fact, let's go there. We're going to look at a couple verses here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm not going to read through these here, but this passage of Scripture here is a warning. And if the early church needed this warning, brothers and sisters, how much more do we need this warning today? This is a warning of deception. It's a warning of apostasy, of falling away that's going to happen. And brothers and sisters, it's happening today. It's happening so much, and it grieves my heart. There's going to be a falling away. And brothers and sisters, you are not exempt from those who can and will fall away. There will be a falling away. I don't want it to be me. I don't want it to be you. Here's how you can make sure it's not you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They didn't love truth. When they're rebuked with truth, they said, no, I don't like it. Reminds me of one Sunday morning several years back as I was at the back of the church after preaching a message. And somebody came through the line after the message and said this, I respectfully disagree. And I appreciated the respectfully part. And they did do it respectfully. But in that message, I had not given my thoughts on the principle that was taught. In fact, I left it wide open. I said, here's God's principles. We got to apply it. And this person said, I respectfully disagree, and walked on out. Are you able to do that when truth is confronted? I respectfully disagree. And are you okay with that? Are you okay tonight with disagreeing with truth? If you are, you will be one who falls away. You can't disagree with truth and walk on in freedom or victory. Obviously, King Ahab didn't respectfully disagree, but he disagreed nonetheless. And by the way, no, don't worry about putting respect in with your disagreement against truth. Truth just is. It doesn't need your respect. It's going to be there. Truth is going to stand whether you disagree kindly with a smile, with a false blessing, or whether you just flat out say, I hate you for speaking that to me. Truth is truth. And in the end times, verse 10, because they received not the love of the truth, verse 12, who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And we say, that's the world. They don't love truth. They take pleasure in unrighteousness. And I'm amazed, or more, I'm appalled at where this country has gone. And as I've come back here, I've just been back here about 8 weeks now, I am amazed at how things have changed just as I've been away on the other side of the world. For every 2 years, we were able to come back. And just in that amount of time, the changes in this country. And we say, yeah, we see where it's going. They don't love truth. They have pleasure. But brothers and sisters, how about you? Do you love truth? Do you love truth? Is truth your friend tonight? Or is it your foe? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, talks about the end times. We're not going to read this passage here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 17 there. It talks about people who are ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know why? You know why people don't come to the knowledge of the truth? Because they don't receive the rebuke. And if truth is your foe, if you're not going to listen to it, you're not going to understand it. And some people like to hide behind, well, I just don't understand it. If I can understand it, then I'll obey it. You know, usually the things that you wrestle with aren't the things you don't understand. Obey what you do know, and God will give you light on things to come. Ever learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, so do these also resist the truth. What's your relationship with the truth tonight? I want to read a couple verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, turn a few pages in your Bible. Second Timothy chapter 4 says this. Verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. And listen, brothers and sisters. Listen to me. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And you saw Ahab do it. He got 400 guys. Tell them what you want to hear. Tell me what I want to hear. I pray that I will not do that this week. That I will not tell you what you want to hear, but I will speak truth. And pray for me that I can do that. In fact, the person in your life who just tells you what you want to hear is not your friend. You need somebody in your life who speaks truth to you, is honest with you. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And then he just wraps up this little section and he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. My job is to do the work of the evangelist, to present truth. And tonight, all I've said to you is you need to listen to truth. You need to accept it. I didn't give you a truth besides that. I didn't talk to you about your relationships. I didn't talk to you about your anger. I didn't talk to you about your greed or your jealousy. I didn't talk to you about materialism. I didn't talk to you about your thought life. I didn't talk to you about your purity or your lack of integrity. I didn't talk about any of that tonight. But guess what? God did. God did. I'm convinced he did. And so my question for you tonight is, whatever truth God spoke to you about, if it was a rebuke, what will you do? If truth is your friend, you're going to, like David, humble yourself and confess. And we're not here to please man. We're not here to do things secretly because of fear of man. So in a few minutes, I'm going to give an invitation. I'm going to ask our song leader to lead us in a song. And as we sing, if God spoke to you tonight and it was a rebuke, then I invite you to come forward tonight and make an agreement with truth, saying, I want to be a friend of truth. I accept what you're saying, God. Now, don't come forward for me. I'm not worried about how many people we have up here. This is not about us. Brothers and sisters, these meetings are about you and I in our hearts. I see in Scripture that open confession is what brings victory. So if God tells you to come up front and confess and have somebody pray with you, and I believe there are brothers or sisters who will come and there's a prayer place to pray together back here tonight. If God tells you to do that, you do that. Don't you dare do it for me. Don't you dare do it because there's nobody else up here. Don't you dare do it because you want others to follow your example. You do it if God spoke to you. Now, if God spoke to you and it confirmed something, praise God. And walk on in that relationship of a friendship with truth. I will embrace truth. And you know, brothers and sisters, it's easy for all of us to embrace truth. In fact, King Ahab always, I think he embraced truth as long as he liked it. If the truth was, yes, go to Ramoth-Gilead, he would have said, oh, wow, you're amazing. Give him steaks, you know, forget the bread of affliction. But because it wasn't what he wanted to hear, he didn't like it. I'm not talking about you agree with the things, the truth, what you like. But do we agree with truth when it's convicting us? And I think that if we're honest with ourselves, if there's an area in your heart tonight that God has said, I've been speaking to you about this. If it's a rebuke God's giving to you, let's take care of it. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight. You know our hearts. Father, I'm so grateful that you are truth. You speak truth. I'm thankful today for absolutes. And Father, right now, I just pray that my brothers and sisters here would forget the things I've said. They forget about the people around them. And they would listen to what you have been saying to them. And if there's someone here tonight that you have been rebuking because they're not living in agreement with truth, Father, I pray that in your mercy, you would convict. And you would convict so strong that they would make that confession, that they could be redeemed from whatever it is that they're wrestling with you about, and that you would rule, that truth would rule in their lives. Father, we don't want people to walk away here tonight with the truth still rebuking them. We want to walk away in agreement with truth. Father, you're a shepherd. You lead. You don't force us in this. I can't see the hearts. I can't force, but you do. And I pray you would gently speak. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, we're going to have an invitation song that our brother will lead. I want us to sing it prayerfully. I think it's good just for us to close our eyes so that we can not distracted, not because we don't want people to see if someone comes up front. But if God spoke clearly to you,